Good morning. As you said, my name is Scott Moore, and I go to school at Bob Jones University, where this team is from. I study music there, and it's been a great privilege to be with you all this week and to minister alongside Paisley and others of you. It's just been a wonderful experience for us all, and we're very glad that the Lord gave us this opportunity to come here and to minister alongside of you. Before we start, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love this morning. We thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that you raised him from the grave, and that he is alive right now. We are not here in vain hope, Lord. We pray to a living God. We thank you for that. We celebrate the fact that Christ is alive this morning. Lord, we admit to you that we are weak and that without you we truly can do nothing. We ask you, even now, to visit us with your presence, with your power. Give us joy, Lord, as we look into your word. Give us understanding. Help us to come away with a better understanding of who you are, of who we are before you. Lord, we thank you for all these things. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'd like to look at a principle in the Word of God, a very basic principle. And it's been alluded to already in this morning's service by Pastor Paisley. It's a basic principle, but one that I think all too often we ignore or we forget about, and it really does damage our effectiveness for Christ and our relationship with him. I'd like to begin looking at this principle with the help of an Old Testament friend, Gideon, in Judges, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Judges, and verse 12. We'll begin there. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon was a weak man here. We see he was not a very important man in Israel. He was not significant. Gideon, in fact, was powerless. He was powerless because of what God had asked him to do. God had asked him to do something that was humanly quite impossible. He was to go and to lead an army to destroy the Midianites. Now, the Midianites were a huge people, and they would come up and maraud small countries like Israel. Let's back up in verse 1 as a description of the Midianites. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. So they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east that it mentions here, they were nomadic people. They'd travel from place to place, and they would just eat whatever was around them. Israel, to the Midianites, was just like a big pantry or a refrigerator. They'd come up, just right after harvest, after all the crops were brought in, they'd open the door and said, that looks good, I'll take that. Midianites didn't have to do any work they didn't raise crops, they had their camels, but they didn't have their sheep and everything. They took other people's sheep, and other people's cows, and other people's grain. And really the people that they came up against couldn't do anything about it because there were so many of the Midianites. This is what Israel was up against. Israel was totally weak. They had no army at this point, or a very little one, and you can see that they were weak by the fact that it says that they made these hideouts in the dens, in the caves, in the strongholds. If you go over to the Holy Land, even today, there are thousands and thousands of small little caves in the rock that many of them are still unexplored. But during these times of persecution, the Israelites, many of those were made and lived in for fear of their enemies. So, the whole nation of Israel was a weak nation. And Gideon says that he is from one of the most insignificant families in his tribe of Manasseh. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but in that culture, tribal and familial status was a very important thing. And if you were just a nobody in your family, then everybody treated you like a nobody. It wasn't very nice when you were not important. Gideon was basically unknown. And further, he wasn't a warrior. Gideon was a farmer. He had not had military training. He was used to sowing grain, threshing it, reaping it, all sorts of agricultural things. I'm sure he knew how to use a sword, but how to command men probably was not on his list of things that he did every day. Gideon was in a very weak position. I'd like to bring out that mankind, we are in that same position. We are weak. We are powerless. It's because of the kind of things that God has called us to do. The first and great thing that we are called to do, we are called to salvation. And God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's a call. But are we powerful enough to save ourselves? Absolutely not. We have nothing to do with our salvation. Titus chapter 3 assures us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, very familiar verses, remind us, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet another one, 2 Timothy chapter 1. God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Salvation is of God. We have no power in our own salvation. We are also powerless in worship. God calls us to worship Him. But We are gathered here this morning, and in our own power, we cannot praise God as He sees fit. We have to have supernatural power for that. David makes it clear in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? David was amazed at how willing the Israelites were to sacrifice and to give at the tabernacle. And he recognized that that didn't come from them. That came from God. God gave them that spirit of worship and giving. We're powerless also in our Christian service. After Peter and John had healed the lame man sitting outside the temple, there was naturally a great hubbub. People were wondering, how did this man who has been sitting here for years, all of a sudden, he's walking and he's jumping, he's praising God. And they eventually got down to Peter and John. They said in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, they said to him, how did you do this? And Peter says, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Peter's saying, we didn't do it. It was God. We don't have the power to do this in and of ourselves. It was God's power that healed this man and caused him to walk. This text has already been mentioned this morning. John chapter 15. Christ says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Quite plain. We are powerless. God has called us to do things that we cannot do. And it's just not in our nature to be able to do them. Now, the next point that I would like to emphasize in this principle that the Lord has been teaching me is, man is weak, but God is powerful. God is omnipotent. You might say, okay, tell me something I don't know. That's something we learn in Sunday school. It's basic. But I am surprised in my own life how many times I don't even pay attention to that fact, that God can do anything, absolutely anything. Listen to the testimony of Job. This is wonderful. Telling us that God is the great creator, sustainer of the universe. Chapter 26. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Job is saying, look at all these incredible things that God does every day in nature. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We can hardly understand how great and how powerful the God is who we serve. He is not only the great creator and sustainer, he is the great provider. Everything that we have, everything that we own, comes from God, is a blessing from him. Again, in 1 Chronicles 29, David says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." All that we have is not from us, it's from God. He's a great deliverer. You hear throughout the Old Testament and referred to in the New many times of God's great deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery. He is also our great deliverer, Christ. In Colossians 1:13, "Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, a spiritual deliverance from darkness to light. That's what God is to us. He's our great commissioner. He's our great, powerful commissioner. Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto the disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then based on that statement that says, "All power is given to me," He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." It is based on His power that He commands us to go out. He doesn't command us to go in our own power. It's His power that strengthens us. So, man is weak. God is wonderfully omnipotent. But there's still that great disconnect. God's powerful and we are not. How do we get God's power for our lives? One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think, is Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Christ is the source of our power. So how can we do all things through Christ? What is this medium that whereby we get this power from God? That medium is called grace. Man is weak. God is powerful. But God gives grace. He gives grace, in the first place, for salvation. Again, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are you saved, through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our salvation is totally by grace. God gives grace for Christ-like living. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "God said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now there is one great condition for grace. David referred to this, or wasn't referred, spoke a lot on Wednesday night, I believe. The great condition for grace is humility. God does not give grace to those who are not humble. He does not use tools that refuse to give glory to Him. God is a jealous God of His own glory. He will not use someone that takes glory from Him. Listen to 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Imagine with me a race car. This car is the best on the track. It might win some of the most prestigious European races. It's got a huge 400 horsepower engine in it, and you know, the best aerodynamics and tires and everything that you can think of. This is the best car out there. Now, if you get out of the car and go to the back of it and try to push that car around the racetrack, you're not going to get very far. You might get a few feet throughout the whole race. Because cars are pretty heavy. That huge engine is useless to you. It's actually a hindrance. You're trying to push all that weight around. It's only when you get into the car and put the key in the ignition and turn it that engine can be of any use to you. humility is key to grace. You cannot access for you any of God's power without the key of humility. God makes that abundantly clear. Now, let's get back to Gideon. Gideon was a humble man when God came to him, but he needed to be further humble. He and his army that he gathered 20 or 30,000 men. But God said, "No, Gideon, I want the glory from this. That's too many people. If you went out with that many men, you would be able to say, 'Wow, look what we did.'" He went through a couple of series of paring the army down until at last they had just 300 men. And God said, "Okay, now I can get the glory from this, because there is absolutely no way that you and your 300 men can go defeat those Midianites on your own. It's an impossibility." But the wonderful thing that is that with God, nothing is impossible. I mean, this asking these men to, you know, go home and just dwindle down to 300 men is strange enough. But then, I think it took even more humility for them to obey and just lay down their weapons and pick up torches and pots and trumpets. I mean, can you imagine what, you know, a unit of Royal Marines, you know, laying aside their M16s, their knives, their grenades, and picking up, you know, everyday household utensils to go to fight in a war? That would be very humbling. And that's what God wanted to do. He wanted to bring him to a place where they said, "There really is no way that we can do this, Lord. It's all up to you. And we trust you." That's what humility is. It's recognizing what you truly are before God. And then saying, "Okay, Lord, you have all the power. Show it to me now." You may not think that you're called to do anything like Gideon. I mean, there are no Midianites around today. We're not called to go out and destroy the enemies of God physically. But there are some pretty difficult tasks that God has called us to do. Have you ever tried loving your neighbor? That's a monster task. That is very, very difficult at times. It's not natural to us. Have you tried to fulfill Christ's commandment to go and to make disciples that we referred to earlier? It can be more difficult than you might think to get out there and to hand somebody a tract or to give a gospel witness at your place of work. It can be very difficult in front of your peers to stand up for the Lord and to say, "No, I don't believe in that," or "I'm not going to do that," or to, like Matthew did, or like Mrs. Paisley did, to ask if our group could come to public school this week. No. That wasn't easy. But God gives power. Have you tried casting all your cares upon the Lord? You've got to be humble to do that. You can't just do that in your own power. It's unhuman. Nobody likes to just give your worries over to somebody and not think about them. Humans like to worry about things. They like to mold them over and think of all the possibilities. But God says, "Cast all your cares upon me." And that really is an impossible thing for just a human to do. How about the great commandment, "Be ye holy, for I am holy"? It's impossible. It's preposterous. We cannot be holy in and of ourselves. That's what God wants us to say. Yes, you can't do that. But I can. And humility is telling God, Lord, you've commanded me to do this, and there's absolutely no way that I can. Lord, please, work in me to do this. When we humble ourselves before God, He is then free and glad, very glad, to help us to do those things that He has called us to do. Humble yourselves before God so that He can work in you and accomplish those things that He's called you to do. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge you that you are a great God and you are powerful. And we acknowledge to you that we are weak and that without you, we can do nothing. Our very lives come from you. Our spiritual life comes from you. And we have no power to live the Christian life outside of you. Lord, we pray that each one of us here will humble ourselves. We'll make it a practice to humble ourselves frequently before you in every matter, telling you that we are weak. That is the truth. And that you are mighty. And pleading for you to glorify yourself by making your power known unto us. Thank you for this wonderful principle that you have woven through your word. We pray that we will understand it and that we will put it into practice. In Jesus' name.